So here we are at the Plaza Show, and I'm with Woody now. Howdy, Woody.
How you doing?
All right, and we're standing over the Onyx 1640i. And
that's correct.
Is that the biggest?
This is the flagship in the range. Yeah, This is the 16-channel 4-bus. Daddy, I like to call it, the range that has the full-blown 16x16 FireWire capability and real sort of heavy-duty analog feature set.
Great.
You've got four-band dual-sweep EQ, six aux sends. You've got real high-end features, like each aux send is individually switchable pre and post and soloable. You know, obviously really important for, you know, more complicated live sound applications. Four subgroups, which is an item that probably the closest competitor to this, the Allen and Heath ZR16, they chose to remove subgroups and replace them with non-motorized MIDI assigned faders, which I thought was a big mistake in terms of actual analog mixer land.
Yep.
But yeah, being able to really sort of deeply integrate the FireWire on this guy, of course you get the pre-post EQ, FireWire sends from every channel to the computer. You can also choose to route aux sends to over FireWire bus to the computer, so if you want to actually run your computer as a big effects engine, you know, I love Altiverb, and to be able to, you know, take my laptop and run Altiverb in a live sound environment, you know, it's just really cool.
Tell me about the FireWire pre and post send part then.
Right, so on every channel, you'll notice you've got an individual switch, so you can choose whether the FireWire send is pre or post EQ.
Right.
If it's in the pre position, it's actually very similar to a direct out, and you can actually insert your computer into the signal flow. So if you think of it as you choose pre-FireWire send, and then you choose to select your FireWire return that you're monitoring in your channel strip, the signal flow goes, so your direct out goes to the computer, and then the channel strip listens to the FireWire output from the computer. So you can even add dynamics processing, you know, dependent on your system performance. You know, you can certainly add dynamics processing and, you know, basic plug-in editing, very low latency, so you can actually track with your computer in line. So that's one use, you know. Of course, some people from the previous generation said, hey, I've got all this wonderful Perkins EQ, you know, I'd really want to be able to track, you know, with that Perkins EQ, so you can then choose to route, you know, your FireWire feed post EQ. So,
and that wasn't possible prior?
No, the prior edition was pretty groundbreaking, in that it was the first time that a FireWire interface had actually been, you know, built right into a mixer. And in fact, in America, we were awarded the US patent for that. So we were kind of recognized as the industry first for doing that. But in doing that, you know, the routing was fairly basic, in that you could only take the FireWire feed as a direct out, and then you only got a stereo return that was only routable into the control room. So it was designed as a tracking solution. So, you know, the old paradigm of, you know, track dry and then add EQ and everything later was kind of the thought process from the team that did the previous generation. But then having gone to market, you know, one of the biggest customer requests was, hey, I really want to be able to use more of my 16-channel mixer, you know, into this. So that's why, you know, now we have this pre-post EQ assignment, you know. We've built in modification points into the mixer, easy modification points, so if users do want to go post-fade even, you can change that post-EQ FireWire tap point to even post-fade. It's an internal mod, so it's not something that, you know, it would have to be done by a service center, but, you know, we've really gone in and put pre-thought all of these positions out and allowed for easy kind of flexibility to the you know, the high-end user.
Well, speaking of flexibility, they're probably I'm probably too dumb to understand all the live potential of it and all. So for this purposes of this podcast, maybe we'll just, if you don't mind, we'll just deal with recording.
Yeah, sure.
Because my head will start to spin if we get into all the other possibilities. So just a basic question. What about levels? So you're looking at your digital audio workstation to see where your levels are. What's the correlation between the faders?
Correct. So the firewire returns back into the channel strip are post game. So your outputs coming from your door are setting the level that you have coming into your channel strip. So your door then becomes kind of your master output level stage for that. The gain pots up the top control your input gain for your analog inputs.
Yeah. So say you have a band and you're recording them with these 16 channels.
Correct.
So and you want to EQ the EQ to tape, as you call it, or EQ to your DAW. So you'll select perhaps post-fade level then, or where will you be listening back to the monitoring your project?
So you've got some choices. You can, depending on how you bus.
I was afraid you can say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, depending on how you bus in your DAW, you could say, if you're using all your channel strips for recording, so I have
it's a rock band,
everything mic'd up.
Yes.
And I would then simply bring the stereo output from the computer, so I'd have it set up as a rough mix in the computer.
Yeah.
I would bring the stereo output of that just straight back into the control room, where I can merge it with my mix even if I want to.
Yeah.
And then so I have my monitor from tape coming back, my essential, you know, to stereo monitor mix that I've done in my DAW that I'm listening to, and I have all my channels set up for tracking.
Good.
Then as you start to knock off stuff, if you start to, you know, start overdubbing and then bringing stuff back down the board, you can start, you know, converting channels from being, you know, input record channels to actual mix channels. And, you know, slowly as you get through into the complete mix phase of things, you know, you obviously take the microphones out and then, you know, replace those with all your firewire feeds back from the computer, and then you can actually do your complete analog mix down, you know, on the desk. And if you've recorded maybe 64 tracks in the computer, you'd stem mix that down to, you know, 16 outputs. You know, or if you're really lucky and you have the means to do it, you would put two of these mixers side by side. You know, FireWire is aggregatable on both Mac and PC, and then you can run 32 outputs, you know, 32 channels in two 19-inch rack spaces wide. It's a pretty powerful system.
And they, will they slide up next to each other?
Yeah, you can stick two side by side, and then you've literally got a 32, well, in fact, you could put three if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, 32-channel, 48-channel, board.
And what happens to the four buses?
And this is an interesting one. At the office, we have two of these side by side, and because it is so powerful and such a small footprint, there was a product that Mackie built many years ago called the Mixer, that allowed you to link three 1604s together. And we're actually contemplating, and if there's enough interest for it, we'll build a analog mixer for the 1640i's, which will allow you to chain and link aux sends and subs and stuff like that together, so you can truly link multiple analog decks together.
Wow.
You know, in the meantime, just being able to bring out 32 channels from a computer down, you know, an analog desk, giving you 32 channels of EQ, you know, and that mixing capability, you know, even without having the ability to truly link the aux sends and the buses, is an extremely powerful system.
Right. And then is there any new technology in the analog parts of the desk, like an EQ or a mic pre?
It's our classic Perkins EQ. It's the classic Onyx mic pre. In general, the components that we've used in this latest generation are obviously a step up, you know, so overall the noise floor has gone down and the headroom has gone up, as is usually the case when we do, you know, a re-engineering of a new product. The summing bus has been custom designed to give you maximum headroom. You know, the converters we use in this range are extremely high. I mean, they are of the highest quality that is generally available today. It's a combination on the smaller ones of AKM and Cirrus converters, and on this big 1640, they're all Cirrus converters, which are the same units that are used in very high-end standalone rack units, costing $2,000-$3,000 a piece. Our signal-to-noise ratio on the converters alone are about 121 dB. So they're an order of magnitude much, much better than anything certainly we've ever produced before.
Right.
And has reached a level that, to be honest, you don't even think about it. They disappear.
Wow.
You don't think about that process of conversion. You know, they've gotten that good that, you know, you audibly you're not hearing any loss of detail or loss of quality by going through that process. So, so which is really great, you know. It's something that's bugged me for years. When you buy an interface and you listen to a real, you know, shimmering sample and you play it back and it's lost that, you know, it's lost that airiness, and that's the conversion process. And, you know, with these, it's for the first time, you know, for anything that we've built previously, it's order of magnitude better. So
fantastic. And then what sort of computer limitations were there to pair this up with something? Say, if again, I'm stuck in this band tracking mode because that's all that's all I know. And so people wonder about the FireWire limitations. Say you have 16 things being sucked in at 96K. Is it going to fall over, or do you need a big fast drive, or what do you need to do that sort of stuff?
I don't think there's really any firm answer to that beyond, you know, I mean, the better the computer, you know, the more power you're going to have. I mean, in terms of simple tracking these days, you know, if all you're doing is just recording, just like a tape machine, you know, you need a, you don't need anything more than a pretty basic computer to be able to manage that. I mean, we're running here just, you know, a little Mac Mini, and it's running at about, I just think maybe 20% of power running at, I don't know how many tracks there are in this session, but it's, you know, multi-track with plugins and everything, and it's that factor is kind of going away as well. I think, you know, 3-4 years ago, it's certainly something that would be of more concern. Now, a modern generation computer is, you know, that little Mac Mini has 4 gig of RAM as standard.
Right, and so sucking in 16 channels at 96K, that's not a problem. That's,
no. Really? I actually took that Mac laptop I've been using over there, which is a new, it's the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and you know, it's just standard, nothing added, no extra RAM. I think it's got 4 gig of RAM in it as standard. I was recording 16 channels of a jazz big band on a 1640 out live, and I ran it for 3.5 hours, you know, and I much like you, I'm like, well, you know, I want to test it, and I tested it before I went just to make sure it wouldn't fall over, and and it performed perfectly. I mean, I had, as I say, 3.5 hours of non-stop recording. It didn't even glitch once. It didn't fall over. I had the performance meter up, and I think the hard drive usage was at 6% for the entire duration, and the CPU usage was at like 2%. I mean,
amazing, yeah.
And that's just a MacBook Pro that I just, you know, it is system dependent, but modern computers, the ones you can buy just straight off the shelf today, are so much more powerful and more streamlined than they were even like 3 or 4 years ago. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So I do see this as filling a gap. I was having a look around at other, you know, dealing with the Pro Tools hookup and stuff.
Right.
That multi-input interfaces. You know. And that does seem. Do you think that does fill a gap for like band recording, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're a Pro Tools user, you know, you're relatively limited in options. I mean, there's a whole wealth of interfaces in the M Audio category that you can use. You know, but they are all audio interfaces. You know, which certainly appeal to a particular user.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily the band guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you go up into Pro Tools LE, you've got the M-Box range, and then you get into the 003 range. You know, the 003 rack, it's only got 4 mic pre's, you know.
Yeah.
It's suiting a more of a desktop production type environment, you know, remix environment, rather than, you know, good old-fashioned band recording. You know,
yeah, that's where I see this being a hit. You know.
Exactly. You know, this.
I mean, are there any, you're talking about the Alan and Heath creation, is that got any?
The Zed, yeah.
Has that got anything that this doesn't have, or is there some things that you were saying this has that you've got the 4 faders there?
Exactly, yeah. We've got subgroups with, you know, I mean, I like the Alan and Heath board, and when they came out with it, we were obviously working on this, and, you know, they were obviously looking at the same possibility, and I respect them for that. You know, they've made some decisions that I obviously wouldn't have done.
Yeah,
you know,
I
think adding MIDI into an analog board, you know, it is I wouldn't have done it myself. I can buy a standalone MIDI controller for very little money and, you know, run it. I'd rather have, you know, I'd rather my analog mixer does the job of being an analog mixer really, really well. They obviously have multi-channel FireWire as well, so price-wise, in Europe, they're 500 euros more expensive than our Onyx 1640i, so it's significantly more money for a you know, a feature set that, to be honest, you know, really doesn't quite hit the spot.
Great. Well, I'd like to buzz through some questions because I promised the guys on the forum that I'd ask some questions. Okay, here's one from I don't know how to pronounce that name, but anyway, Alden, and it says, "Looks like I imagine it will be bundled with M Audio hardware." so I think we'd say no to that one.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And then here's one. I hope this driver will work with the original Onyx FireWire, but I'm not holding my breath. So should he hold his breath?
He should not. No. The universal driver, which is the or the Pro Tools aspect of the universal driver, is only going to be available for the Onyx I series.
Got it.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, let's clear that up. And someone is Soundrage is complimenting, saying they must be listening to people about the EQ or lack of an EQ switch on the Onyx mixers because the I has it.
Yes,
that's great.
Yeah, there's an EQ in out switch on the 1640i. The smaller versions on the mixers don't have that. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a feature of the flagship mixer that kind of has the all the bells and whistles, as we would say.
The 16-channel one.
The 16-channel one, yeah, right. Absolutely.
Does the other...
the smaller three don't have EQ in out switch.
Got it, okay. And then Mackie says the converters are the best they've ever specified, and you just confirmed
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So that's true. And then...
yeah, well, it's actually our director of engineering, Nathan O'Neill. He's he was a long-time director at Lucid.
All right.
Prior to joining Loud Technologies, and this is really the first range of interfacing product that has been entirely engineered in-house at Mackie. Mm. I don't know if this is, you know, I've certainly spoken to people at trade shows, so this isn't a secret, but our previous interfacing products, such as the 400F and the 1200F, satellite even, were all engineered by external engineering resources. So 400F and 1200F were engineered by Echo, for example, and the satellite was, at least at first, was engineered by a company called Centrance, and then was, you know, towards the end of the project was brought more in-house. So, you know, the I-Series is all done in-house. You know, we now have a dedicated driver team. We now have a dedicated team who is really focused on computer interfacing, really for the first time ever. And me as a product manager, I've been pushing the company to do this for since I moved to America 5 years ago, and you know, it's the culmination of that. And as I say, this is really the first time that has all been put into place. And you know, we have, you know, and it shows.
I mean, yeah.
People will see that they sound and perform much better than anything we've done before.
Well, I think some would speculate if the dedicated driver team were on 24-hour standby in case DigiDesign.
Yeah, absolutely.
Decide to change something in there.
Yeah,
in their code, so that's
well. Then hopefully we'll be able to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks about how they won't need to do that.
Great. Okay. Well, here's someone saying, Jules, at the very least, could tell us if the Pro Tools M-Powered will run without the iLock. I think.
You still need to use the iLock.
Yeah.
That is actually Digi's own.
Yeah.
Copy protection, so you still need the iLock. You just don't need to run any of their hardware.
That's it, great. And then here's someone's, he's copied some code about the FireWire bus. Is that anything?
So look, now Technologies.
No vendor ID.
Yeah, that looks like
just from
FireWire. No, it looks like the chip ID.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
super cute. Yeah. Okay, great. And then, I can edit this, by the way, so that we can get rid of this sort of thing. So, why don't you just pause it?
If you can shut that door.
So here we are, phase two, the questions. So, let's see, I'm not sure I've got these in order, but I'll just go through them. We might have covered this. Okay, here's someone wondering if Mackie production has returned to the USA yet.
It's an interesting one, that, actually. In terms of Mackie, no, most of our, well, just about everything that we have built is built in the Far East. Mm-hmm. One really cool thing that is a silver lining to the troubles that we've had in the last year, and this has been fairly public, is, you know, last September, October, one of our major contract manufacturers in the Far East closed, mm-hmm. And that is what has been why there's been some major availability issues for, you know, core Mackie product.
Yeah.
Our new team, our new executive team, and our new contract manufacturing partners are much, much, much better.
Okay.
And again, from a product manager point of view, you know, it's great. You know, internally, I'm extremely happy with the people that we are now building product with, you know, in Asia.
Fantastic.
The company that is building the Onyx Eye series, for example, mm-hmm. is a company called VTech. And they are a global company with three major divisions. One of them is children's educational gaming systems, which you may have seen, the VTech gaming systems.
I think it's my kids have got some.
Exactly. I mean, it's huge. They are the largest producer of US cell phones in the world.
Right.
They have a team of 300 engineers based in Vancouver, just up the coast from us, dedicated to the US cell phone market. And their third division is contract manufacturing, and they build for a lot of high-tech companies, both inside our industry and outside of our industry, and you know, they also build for the likes of, you know, our friend DigiDesign, for example.
Right.
You know,
so okay. So confidence is high.
Very, very much, much, much more confidence in the choice of manufacturing facilities being used.
That's great.
Forward.
Speaking of facilities, they were wondering about your warehouse. Have you finished moving your warehouse? They were wondering about that. Was there a warehouse?
There's been some changes.
I
believe we closed a mid-country US warehouse, and we've moved to a different facility, I believe, on the East Coast. But I mean,
no.
To be honest, that has no impact on kind of availability or timing or anything like that. So,
I think in the UK they've consolidated at iWicker.
In the UK we had you know, now that we have Martin Audio. Mm-hmm. As one of our sister brands in the company, they have facilities in High Wycombe in the UK, and we mm-hmm. we consolidated into there as well.
Yep, that's fine. It's all right. This'll pick up. This'll pick up. Okay. So continuing with questions. So someone says here, G-Spot here says, I just hope that Mackie soon installs SPDIF and ADAP connections on the just-released Onyx Eye FireWire consoles. Maybe then Digi will finally get inventive on their product line. So they're asking you to install SPDIF. And is there a reason why it's not on? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, a targeted feature set, you mm-hmm. know, and cost and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's an analog mixer designed for, you know, recording and interfacing via FireWire with a computer. Certainly having kind of additional connections like ADAT and SPDIF can be useful, but, you know, it all comes down to how much can we afford to put in the product to achieve its primary goal.
Yep.
And, you know, stuff always kind of falls off. And, you know, I know some people on the forum ask for MIDI as well and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's certainly going to be a bunch of other connections that one person may need, but we have to sort of gear the target to the primary usage. And
Is there a workaround, do you think? Could someone hook up an additional something that could possibly bring in?
I mean, again,
bring in digital sources. Obviously, you can you can play digital stuff through your Pro Tools mixer.
Right, exactly. I mean, I would imagine someone's wanting SPDIF because they maybe have you know, a stereo digital recorder, for example, and they may want to import, you know, sound or whatever, or export to another digital recorder.
Yeah.
There's certainly one of the benefits of FireWire and aggregation, again, is, you know, there's a lot of interfaces that offer a lot of digital I/O, dedicated digital I/O.
So you could have another little gizmos
exactly.
sat round, and it wouldn't make your desk fall over or anything
exactly.
like that. Okay, well, that's good. So that's good. So you can
one of
get
the benefits
your SPDIF.
Of FireWire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and one person asks if you can provide confidence in driver support. Well, you told me that there was a driver team.
Absolutely. We now have two full-time driver guys who do nothing but write our drivers from now on, and they've worked on our universal Pro Tool support driver and a new universal driver, which we're rolling out to all of the existing products. The universal driver will support all the existing Onyx FireWire cards, satellite, a bunch of other stuff. We've unified that entire driver into one system, and that's something the guys have been working on now for a couple of years. That'll be going up on the website to all the existing ones, and has support for, you know, all the latest operating systems, including Windows Vista and soon to be Windows 7, and, you know, we've got Snow Leopard support in that as well. So,
does it work with Snow Leopard as of today?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's good, because Snow Leopard's a rather regarded as a poison chalice for people in music audio.
Right.
They're a bit afraid of it, but they shouldn't be afraid as far as you are.
Yeah, we've been testing it for some time. I mean, one of the things of having the internal guys is they've already built up a close relationship with the guys at Apple and the guys just down the road in Redmond, 10 miles down the road at Microsoft. So, you know, we get pre-release builds, and we're actually testing well ahead of time now, which, again, is a benefit of doing internal engineering on this stuff. You know,
right.
Previously on our interfaces, we're always challenged because, you know, if we have a contract manufacturer or a contract engineering team design a product, they then hand it off, and essentially every time an OS changes, you need to go back to that team and renegotiate terms to do updates to the driver. It becomes a very clumsy process.
I can see
that. And again, that was one of the reasons why I was allowed by our company to actually take those resources and hire them and bring them in-house.
Fantastic. And then here's someone saying that I wished they had Word Clock. So how does Word Clock work with the iSeries? Is it possible to sort of influence the computer's Word Clock, which will then...
Word Clock is... Yeah. Word Clock does have some benefits. One of the benefits is if you do not want to rely on the clocking that is provided by, you know, our product, and you have gone out and spent, you know, a large sum of money on an extremely accurate clock, you know, a Rosendahl or something like that, then you can re-clock a digital system via Word Clock, you know, which is, again, it suits a very, very particular sort of user.
Yeah. Can it be done down FireWire or...?
FireWire does pass clock, but it's not the same as having a Word Clock, you know. Trying to think about whether you could actually interface through something else and then carry that clock down, but I don't think you could particularly easily.
Because it used to be able to sort of cheat a DigiDesign interface by hooking up an SPDIF thing to it, you know.
Yeah. To be honest, I mean, you know, we look at all of these connections and the relevance of them is kind of shifting over the last few years. I mean,
fair enough.
The chipsets that we use for the FireWire connection and the converters that we use, you know, much like computers, they're becoming so much better so rapidly that these old paradigms kind of slightly fall off. You know, the requirement for reclocking is negligible these days. You know, the quality of the internal, you know, oscillators is so much better than they used to be. You know, 5 years ago, I'd have said absolutely. You know, to get a really good sounding conversion process, you would need to reclock, because the standard stuff that we could get was not that great. But nowadays, it really kind of pushes into that niche market again. You know, and it does exist. Some guys do have, you know, have gone out and invested in, you know, ultra high end clock sources, and, you know, and that's certainly, you know, I wouldn't discredit that in any way, but again, it's kind of a feature that, you know, we have to look at the big market and achieving the feature set that suits, you know, as many people as possible.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, and then someone said, if we could get the exact in and out of each mixer via FireWire, that would be cool. The website talks about 1640 being full 1616 in out, but they don't go into detail with the smaller units. I assume the big one has all the features, which we kind of confirmed.
Right.
A minute ago, which makes sense, but I'd like to hear from Mackie. So I suppose that means what don't the smaller ones have?
So The smaller three mixers have full multi-track input and stereo output, but you have routing capabilities on all of those. So on the 820, it's an 8x2 FireWire interface, so you can choose to record all the channels multi-track. You can choose to switch into those channels the auxiliaries. So you can use, as we said earlier, you can use a computer as an effects engine, and you can choose to route the master left and right. The 1220i is pretty cool in that it features a 16x2 interface that allows you to multi-track all the channels. The aux sends are available at the FireWire bus, and the master left-right is available at the FireWire bus at all times without any routing needed. So that one's a real simple-to-use kind of no-brainer, probably the easiest in terms of kind of FireWire routing of all of them, apart from the 1640, of course. And then the 1620 also shares the 16x2 interface. So again, you get to choose whether you route the auxiliaries over FireWire, or you get to choose whether you want to record the master left and right. So very flexible. Those three, again, you choose the routing. On the 1640, it is a full 16x16. And again, you can choose to route auxiliaries. You can choose to route subgroups, and you can choose to route the master left and right. And so, you know, you can tweak the application to suit, you know, exactly what you're doing
time. That's great. Well, here's Mercules from the forums, and he wants to know, I'm wondering if you can route outputs within the computer to different channels in the mixer, or does it just receive stereo back from the DAW? I know that's how other Onyx FireWire works. I need something where I can control individual channels from Ableton Live on the actual mixer.
Yeah, so that's the 1640.
Right, the big one does that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Great.
Full 16 channels of FireWire return.
Great. I think there's a clarification to that. Someone knows the 1640 does that, but says, my question on the 1640i is whether you can have a mic signal routed to the computer, then returned on the same channel in real time.
Yes. Yeah, and that's really cool. So as we were looking earlier, Jules, and we were looking at the mixer, you can...
I was asking you not to explain that to me because it was too complicated. So okay, give it another go.
So the pre-EQ FireWire tap point is essentially a direct output. So
yeah.
The way you would set that up is you set your... On the channel, you set your FireWire tap pre-EQ, and then you set your input to the channel as being your FireWire return. So essentially, the signal flow, you have your analog input, when it's your mic, you set your gain, that goes directly into the computer, and then you're monitoring back down your channel strip the output from that computer output. So
right. Post-computer EQ.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're essentially inserting the computer into the channel strip. So
got it.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. So you can then add, as we were saying earlier, you can add dynamics plugins, you can add processing in the computer, and you can run that real time. And
got it.
Again, if you've got a modern computer, you know, latencies are so low that, you know, for the majority of applications, you know, I wouldn't say all, some people are extremely sensitive to latencies, so I wouldn't say everything, but, you know, certainly the majority of applications you can now track with DSP in line, so that's pretty cool.
Great. All right, here we go. On the 1640i, can you run a mic signal coming in, rooted to the computer, and then back to the channel like an insert? Yes.
Yes.
We've just cleared that
absolutely,
one up.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've answered all the questions. So congratulations on the new product, and thanks very much for the time, Woody.
Thank you, and thank you to all the guys on the forum for the interest and the questions.
That's great. They'll enjoy this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.